Hey guys, welcome back to Crime Spotlight, where we talk about crimes that have captivated us in the news. I'm Jasmine, and I've got...
Oh yeah, I'm Will.
Oh my god! And...
Nikita.
And today's case will actually be about the Elisa Lam case. The story was in the news recently because of the Hotel Cecil documentary that's come out as well. And so, Nikita, do you want to get us started?
Yep. So, Elisa Lam was a student from Vancouver, Canada, and she went missing on February 1st, 2013. And she went missing in LA. She was there for basically just a solo trip and the Cecil Hotel. So now, the hotel itself, it has a notorious past. I mean, it was opened in 1924, and for decades, there has been just so many suicides, overdoses, and, like, missing persons cases.
Did she know about the hotel's, like, notoriety before she went?
I don't think so, because what they did was, because of everything that happened, they switched up the hotel a lot of times. So when she went, they had, like, split it into two sections. So one was for travellers.
Yeah.
And one was for people who used the hotel to live there permanently.
Oh, yeah, I saw it was on Skid Row, wasn't it, in LA?
Yeah.
What was her, reasonings for going again?
She went because... I think, yeah, she just wanted to go, she just wanted to have... a holiday by herself. She wanted to prove that she could do it.
Wow.
I was gonna give it away for a minute, but
I mean, by herself, like, how old was she again?
21.
I mean, I guess that's old enough, but I would be scared going to LA by myself.
I think I remember her talking and saying about how she was really stressed about, like, is it university or something like that?
Probably.
And I was thinking, surely going away and going travelling for the first time is going to be far more stressful.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you would research a place as well. I mean, Skid Row sounded so scary.
I mean, Skid.
Surely just a quick Google search would have prevented so much in this.
Yeah, because I feel like loads of people would know what kind of stuff that happens in that road as well. Like, there's a lot of crimes there and things.
So what happened next in the
So she basically came to California, she went to San Diego, different places, and she was in LA. She came on the 28th of Jan, she checked into the hotel, and then the 31st of Jan was the last time her family heard from her. So then when she was reported missing, and then the police came and they searched her room, everything was gone, because it's protocol for the staff to, like, just pick up whatever belongings a person left, and then they just put it away in the storeroom.
Do they keep them?
Yeah, okay. For up to 30 days, I think.
Oh, okay.
In case they come back. But yeah, so investigators discovered she had left a lot of her stuff, like basically everything, her laptop, her prescription meds, her wallet, clothes, passport. And there was no evidence of forced entry into the room either. So it was like she had just gotten up and left. So
it was spooky.
Was she in, like, was she sharing a room with anyone?
She was sharing a room for, like, the first 3 days with a bunch of other girls.
Right.
But then they complained and they said her behavior was, like, she was acting weird. And then... she got moved to a different room.
I wonder, like, how she acted, though, because they were probably, like, maybe the last people that saw her or, like, spoke to her properly.
Yeah, so should I say, like, what her behaviour was now?
Yeah.
What, like, should I do after? So basically, she was acting... It was so scary. Like, I would have punched her or something. I would have been so scared. I would have told her to leave. Like,
you would have punched her.
Wasn't she suffering with bipolar?
Yeah, but that's no excuse.
Nikki is just going to punch bipolar people.
You had it first.
But, like, yeah, so she was leaving notes for her other, like, roommates. And like little post-it notes, and they all said things like go back home, leave now, go away, and like just weird stuff like that. And she would leave them on like their beds, and because they all had like bunk beds and stuff, and on like their belongings.
That's really scary.
Yeah. And then she would do this thing where she would lock the door, and she wouldn't let the girls in until they said the password, and she wouldn't tell them the password.
What do you mean, like, password as in, like, she was, like, at the door, like, tell me the password?
Yeah.
What, she would make up her own password?
Yeah, so it was a bit weird. I would definitely be scared if there was, like, 21-year-old and they're, like, leaving all these little notes.
Yeah. You know, it kind of sounds like she's extremely paranoid in that way. Mm-hmm. And
yeah, so it does start making sense after.
Yeah, I think I'd be scared if someone left me a post-it note telling me to go home.
So she was last seen by the late night shift workers in a no guest area, and that's when she was asked to leave. And the last time they saw her was when she was just walking to the lift, and then that was literally it.
And so that's when the really infamous lift video came.
Yeah. So have you guys all watched the elevator video?
Yes.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about this. Did anyone actually see it when it came out? Because I swear a lot of these Netflix documentaries always talk about, you know, the videos going viral, and I swear I never saw it around the time when it was released.
Really? I saw it. I remember it was really big on YouTube.
Really?
Yeah, I saw it as well.
Yeah, it had like millions of views just because of like the case around it.
Hey, so I'm just not cultured.
I don't remember the case like back then, but I would search up random stuff on YouTube, so that's how I've seen it.
Because she's doing some weird stuff in the elevator, isn't she?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, so let's see. I'm just going through my notes. Okay, so what did you think about her behavior? So she walks in and she's pretty, it's normal. She just presses a bunch of like floors in the middle.
Oh yeah, she goes like through the floors and presses like each button on the floor.
You know, like an elf when he goes to the like
in elf
elevator and he just like does all the things and it comes up as like the Empire State Building.
Yeah, it looked like that.
That's the vibe I got on this one.
Well, loads of people were saying that, or like even in the documentary they were saying that like she was hiding from someone or something like that, but I don't think she was hiding from anyone. I think she was just really paranoid. The way she's acting, it looks like someone's like there, or she's speaking to someone, like she's being followed, but like there is no one there.
They tried to make out like another shoe or something, didn't they, in the documentary?
Yeah, but I saw that, but I don't believe that.
No, me either. I think it's definitely a reach.
Definitely. And didn't they say in the documentary, or the police found that she hadn't been taking her medication?
Yeah. So, yeah, we get onto that a bit after, but what people thought first was when they saw the video is because she presses them and she goes back, and then suddenly she just, like, goes out and she, like, whips her head, like, left and right, and she goes back in. Yeah. And it does look like she's hiding, but people thought that she was playing the elevator game. Have you guys heard of that?
No.
Okay, so it's a Korean... I searched it up on, like, Reddit and stuff, and then I couldn't sleep.
Oh, gosh. But
it's this game, and it's where you go to a different... It's not a different dimension, it's, like, a different reality. And there's a sequence, like, of numbers, like, there's a pattern. And you press, it's, like, 2, 5, 10 and something, and... When you get to the level, a woman comes into the elevator, and I don't get the point of doing it, but you're not supposed to talk to her, you're not supposed to look at her, and she'll ask you questions, she'll like be like, why are you here, what are you doing, and you're not supposed to look at her or anything. You go all the way back down, and you're supposed to leave.
So what is the point of doing that?
I don't know, I think it's just a thing.
What, like, do you get out of it?
Death.
Death, yeah. So what happens when you do look at her?
I don't know. I think it's just that she takes you away or something. Or you can get stuck in that reality and you just
like,
can't.
Kind of like a Medusa situation.
Yeah, very much so.
But yeah, people thought she was doing that, and then she was seeing things and she got stuck and something went wrong.
Did she actually, like, did the elevator, like, go anywhere when she was in it? It didn't move from the floor that she was on, right?
No, and they figured out why, because she had pressed that button where it said, where it holds the lift, and it holds for 2 minutes.
Oh, I see.
So,
yeah, so yeah, that was a big kind of conspiracy thing about the whole event. It was, like, the elevator wasn't opening, and there had to be some, like, paranormal explanation for it.
Oh, yeah.
And I was just thinking, like, there's so many hotels that, like, all of their elevators are a bit broken, take ages to open and shut. If you play creepy music behind anything, it can be scary. That's the thing that I got.
100%.
So what actually what after happened? The elevator
yeah
thing,
what happened next
yeah
okay so So they searched the whole building, because when they looked at other cameras as well, they saw that she came in during the day, but she never left. So she had to be somewhere in the hotel, or she would have left from, like, a different way where the cameras were.
Oh, yeah, and initially they thought she was a missing person, didn't they?
Yeah. So they searched the whole building. They checked on the roof as well, and there were helicopters and everything, but they couldn't find her. And also the hotel as well, it's where Richard Ramirez, what's the name, the Night Killer,
the Night Stalker.
Yeah, he stayed there as well.
Yeah, in the documentary they were saying that people would come back to the hotel, like, covered in blood, and no one would say anything because the hotel is just, like, a dodgy place.
Yeah, so he would come back after he'd, like, killed whoever he was killing. Mm-hmm. He would take off his bloody clothes, like, at the back, and he would just walk in his boxes or something, and, like, just back to his room, and it was completely normal.
He's got power. You know, he's running that. He's running that hostel.
He does not care. I know that another famous murderer stayed there as well, because it was this Austrian guy. I think, Nikita, I've already told you this, but it was this Austrian guy where he was killing women in Austria by strangling them with their own bra, apparently. And he was convicted in Austria, but basically when he was in prison, he was writing, like, plays and, like, articles and stuff. So people thought, like, oh, he's a reformed convict. And people even, like, petitioned to get him out of prison. And once he served his time, he got out and then became like a proper journalist. And he went, he got sent to LA, and that's where he stayed at that hotel as well. And he even killed, two or three sex workers whilst he was staying at that hotel.
Because this hotel's got a really big history, hasn't it?
Multiple
killings, multiple suicides.
Yeah.
Is there kind of any explanation for that? Like, why that happens?
I remember it being described as being consumed by a nexus of dark energy, but, like,
what does that mean?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
I think it's because, like, they said in the TV show that the hotel, like, started off as, like, a medium kind of, like, place for people to come, and then because of the Great Depression or something like that, that the people they wanted coming into their hotel, like, they all became poor and stuff, so they had to put their prices down low. And then that's when, like, Skid Row happened, and then I guess everyone in Skid Row, when they had money, they would just stay at the hotel.
Okay, so we're saying that it's kind of haunted by, like, working class ghosts.
Not working class ghosts, but I mean, like, I think it's, like, the economic,
like, depression.
Yeah, that, like, actually is causing that, because, like, it's in a poor area, and, like, I guess that's the only place where poorer people have to go.
Okay. And it was obviously, like, associated with, like, drug dealing, prostitution, and stuff like that.
Yeah, and, like, loads of people would just go there to, like, commit suicide, because I guess, like, they just didn't want to do it in the middle of the street or something.
I mean, it makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah.
All right, so what happened next?
Yes.
Yeah, so her body was found because there was this couple from England who was staying at the hotel, and they noticed the water pressure was low and the colour was dark brown, like there was a brown tint to it, and there was a funny taste.
God.
So
they drank it.
Yeah. Yeah, they were all drinking it for like the past like 2 weeks.
Why would you drink water that looks dirty though? I mean, like maybe at the start they didn't know, but yeah.
It's that bit I don't buy. You know, like you walk into a place, even when I go from one part of the country to, I don't know, let's say the south to the Midlands, I just always notice the difference in the water. Like the first thing you notice. Mm. If I noticed that my water was shit stained, I would genuinely, like, I would notice that in the first 5 seconds.
It was like brown in the documentary. It was disgusting. How were they drinking that? And they were showering in it as well.
I'll be half in Plymouth, so.
Sorry, go on, Nahita.
Yeah, so, it was 19 days after her disappearance and they made this complaint. Then a maintenance worker, he went up to the water tanks and he saw that one of the, what's it called? Like that little...
A lid.
Yeah, not the whole lid, but like a little thing.
Oh, like one of the water tanks.
Yeah, so on top, it was open. So when he looked into it, he saw her body in there. It was just like floating up.
Oh my god.
Whoa.
What do we think about it, like, floating up and not down? Like, she's been pushed. I find that a bit weird as well.
Why? Is she, like, does a dead body go down, or?
not gonna lie, there's no science behind this.
Yeah.
I was just thinking, like, surely if, I don't know, maybe she, if she was pushed in, she'd be face down.
But she wasn't wearing any clothes, was she?
Yeah. Mm. Like, her clothes were found, like, at the bottom. And she was naked, yeah.
How did she even open the lid of the water tank?
Well, this is it. Like, did she do it just by herself? Or was someone else involved?
Mm-hmm. So, they couldn't find anything.
Yeah.
And that's why they released the elevator video.
To try and find out if someone else did it.
Yeah, whether, like, anyone could find out, like, whether they knew her or, like, what could have happened to her or anything. So then it was, like, 4 months after her death and the LAPD, they still hadn't released the autopsy. So people thought it was like there was a cover-up or like there were loads of like conspiracies going around. And people were talking about, you know, because they got those dogs as well.
Oh, right, yeah.
Yeah, to sniff for her. But then people were talking about how could the dogs have missed her. But I don't know whether it's true or not, but don't dogs lose a scent in water?
Yeah, definitely. I feel like... I know in that... they got the dogs out and they found her scent, but they lost it at a window. But then apparently at the window, there's a fire escape that leads to the roof, which is like how she might have, like, that's maybe like where she was last seen and then she went up.
Was that to avoid the cameras, basically? As in, like, they didn't pick her up there because the cameras weren't...
Well, wasn't there another... entry to the roof, but it was like it had an alarm on it.
Yeah, and obviously the hotel staff and the manager said that alarms are always on and stuff, but if she went through there, then the alarms didn't go off. So no one actually knows.
I mean, I wouldn't trust the alarm, because if it's like a really old hotel, who knows if their alarm is like working fine, if their elevator wasn't working either.
Yeah, I was just going to say, if the elevator takes 20 years to open and close... then I'm sure the alarm's not going to go off properly.
Exactly. So what happens next
So when people, they obviously started to get suspicious of it, and then they started to dig more into the case, and they started to find really weird things. So this bit was really cool. Like, I really like this. So there's this movie called Dark Water. It came out in 2005, and it was a 2002 remake of this Japanese film. And it's a horror movie where there's this mother and daughter, and they move into this, like, scary apartment. And it's described like the Cecil Hotel as well. It's just a, like, rundown place. And the girl, she wears a red jacket in the film. And it's, like, the same jacket that...
Elisa was last wearing.
Yeah, sorry. And so obviously that's just like one little thing, but it also had, it also showed discolored water.
Oh, running from the taps.
Yeah. And then at the end, the girl dies by falling into a water tank.
That is so weird.
That's literally just like a copycat. It sounds, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, so it sounds like, was this like a staged murder, like inspired by that movie?
Yeah, is, what did the police find any like foul play or anything?
That's the thing. So the autopsy, it took so long because they were waiting like to find out more things because they couldn't find any foul play like on her. Yeah. Like she hadn't been hurt. She hadn't taken anything. They couldn't find anything.
Did any of you watch the Cat Killer documentary?
Yes.
Because I always thought, like, when I was watching the documentary, this seems quite similar in some ways. That kind of copycat killing of, like, the movie reference.
Yeah, because the movie was, like, was it Basic Instinct or something?
It was something like that. It was kind of like a Catch Me If You Can type of thing.
Yeah. But I think, I don't know, I don't think anyone did this to her. Personally, like, in my head, I feel like she probably did it herself. I mean, it's quite a sad story.
Yeah, what, due to her mental illness?
Yeah, because when I saw this, the movie bit, I was like, maybe no one actually killed her, but maybe she did this, like, to herself, trying to copy it or something.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I mean, oh, they also talked about, like, her Tumblr posts on the show as well. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And her Tumblr's apparently still live and it has, like, loads of things. And she even said, like, in one of her Tumblr posts about, like, how she had really bad depression at times because of her bipolar disorder.
Yeah. Did anyone else kind of think that she sounded a lot like Hilary Duff, like, in the documentary? I kind of thought for a second it might have been, like, Lizzie McGuire doing the voice.
Oh, I was going to say that, Lizzie McGuire.
Just a darker version. But yeah, I think the Tumblr thing, I don't know, because a part of me thinks, like, bipolar, obviously there are worse stages and stuff to bipolar, but she wasn't diagnosed with, like, schizophrenia and, like maybe, yeah, like, dissociative personality disorder or something like that. So I kind of feel like, if she was dealing with just, I don't know, mild levels of depression or stuff like that, I can't see that being a motive for her to do all of this stuff, like, which is so extreme.
I mean, did they talk about, like, her family at all in the TV show?
No, not really. They talk about it after, when we actually find out what happened to her. But yeah, I'm gonna talk about, like, more conspiracy theories right now. So there was people thought, or maybe this was like a cover-up to hide a new strain of TB. And the thing was, there was an outbreak of TB in the Skid Row area during when Eliza was staying
there. I thought TB was, like, eradicated. I thought it was eradicated, like,
so
50
did I.
years ago or something.
TB's back, baby.
It's like hearing, like, polio is back or something.
If it was, when you wouldn't want that to get out, would you?
No, definitely not. Oh my god, TB in Los Angeles.
So why were they, like, is this actually a substantial conspiracy theory?
No, but then look at this. Basically, you know the test that you do for, like, whether someone has TB or not? The test is literally called Lam Eliza.
Nam?
Lam? Lam. Like, it's her name. Yeah, but backwards.
Oh my god.
Wait, so, what?
Yeah, so each conspiracy theory, like, it does have, like, a little bit, okay, like,
but
I
then,
get,
like,
why they're saying
that. Have to go back to, like, 21 years before to when she was born and, like, grill her mum and dad of why they've called her the name of the, like,
Elisa.
It doesn't make any sense.
Maybe they saw it somewhere and they were like, oh, that's a nice name.
I don't buy it.
And there was another one, and they said, oh, she was a biological weapon, and then they had to kill her. And then they found out that the university that she went to, it had a fairly well-known TB research center as well.
But I feel like that's just a coincidence, that part. I feel like she's probably smart, like she went to a good uni, and then that's just like, I feel like that's a coincidence, but maybe not the Lam Elisa one. That one's
that is
really
a bit
weird.
Yeah. Because that's so specific, isn't it? That's so, but not.
Yeah, because it's like the TB is right there as well, and then, oh, that's really weird.
Okay, go on to another. Is that the only conspiracy theories? Or?
Yeah. No, that was all of them. Well, a few of them anyway that I liked. And so, yeah, so when her autopsy was released, they found out that, so basically she was on a lot of medication. She had like four different types for her bipolar disorder and depression. Right. And yeah, so her family, they hadn't really like told the police how bad her like mental health was. And she had a history of not taking her medication. And when they looked at her prescription meds that she had left, they saw that, yeah, she was under medicating.
Oh, that it was basically full.
Well, I take back my previous statement about, you know, the mental illness probably not being an indicator for all of this. If she now it just sounds really insensitive. If she's clearly like, yeah, I thought like due to the Tumblr post, I think in the documentary it says something like a recent Tumblr post says that she's bipolar. Was she suffering with depression long before the bipolar, or?
So with bipolar, it's kind of, it comes with it, I think.
Yeah, because you have like it's highs and lows as well, don't you?
Yeah, so you have depression and then you have manic episodes as well. And yeah, so I thought, oh, it's not that deep. Like maybe she has like regular bipolar disorder, but hers was really bad. She would have really bad episodes where she would hide under the bed. She would get really paranoid, where she thought someone was out to get her. And she was even hospitalized once as well.
See, this is, that's what I think. Like, I think maybe she was under medicating while she was staying at the hotel. And then maybe she was going through like a manic episode and then climbed to the roof. And then I don't know how she fell into the tank, but I think, yeah, maybe it was during a manic episode.
It's a bit of a like chain of events, isn't it? Because like you can kind of imagine her doing something stupid, but then to do about 15 stupid things all linked together, like one outdoing the other, it does feel a little bit like there's got to be a tiny bit of foul play in this.
But I mean, what Nikita was saying about her being paranoid in the past, and like that kind of just explains her behavior in the lift.
Yeah.
And how she was.
Because when you go back to. Sorry,
oh, sorry. Just how she was acting with like her roommates at the hotel, that just shows like how bad it was, I guess.
Yeah, because in the documentary, they tell you that last because they should have spoken to them first. Like, I don't get why they didn't do that. And the family as well. Because I think in a lot of Asian households as well, there's a bit of a stigma around mental health.
Yeah, they won't really talk about it. Mm-hmm. I mean, what did you think of the documentary, though?
I really enjoyed... I feel like those type of documentaries, the way they're done... I thought this about the Cat Killer documentary as well. When the cinematography is really good, when the kind of soundtrack's really good, it brings for a more kind of immersive like experience on the whole front. Whereas like you get some of these documentaries that are clearly just copycats of the next, and there's not much apart from like the story to bring you in. Whereas this I thought was at least quite like visually compelling, at least for the first two episodes I watched.
I liked the first two episodes because I feel like it was quite informative about her like disappearance and death. I was going to say murder, but it probably wasn't a murder. About her death. But then it kind of relied on these like conspiracy theories at the end of it, and I just didn't really like it. But then also what you said about her like her past with her mental health, and they kept that till the end, like they were clearly holding on to that till the very end, just so like you would keep watching. I don't know, some parts of the documentary I didn't really like because I just felt like it was kind of more like exploiting her death and like disappearance to like make the hotel a bit more scary.
Maybe, like, trivializing her mental health in a bit of a way.
Yeah, it was very like sensationalism based almost.
Yeah.
Cause like I just feel like it was probably her mental health and they just didn't really talk about that much in the documentary.
It did, like they even brought up at one point, obviously in the elevator before anyone knew anything about it. They were bringing up conspiracy theories about ghosts and like paranormal activity. And it just made you think, like, maybe she's just going for a bit of a rough patch, you know? Maybe she's just not mentally there.
It's really like feeding into the conspiracies when I don't think that really helps at all, because I think the main thing is literally just her mental health. Like, I feel like maybe if she'd gotten some help then she'd still be alive.
Yeah, so probably. Do you think these type of documentaries are actually doing a bit more harm than good?
Nikita, what do you think?
I'm not really sure because it's all kind of over now.
That's just such a bleak way to look at it.
But yeah, with the documentary, like I really liked the first two episodes and I did like the conspiracy parts because it showed like how the whole world was reacting. But it kind of, at the end, it showed them all as like really shit investigators, because once you find out like she had those prescription meds, you have to look into her mental health, you have to ask her family, and then I feel like she would have been found so much quicker.
Yeah. Also, another thing about the documentary was that it had loads of like, you know those people that are like, oh, I went to a ghost house or something, and they do a YouTube video about it. It had loads of people like that, and like there was even one bit in the documentary where it was like a group of YouTubers and they actually went to the roof of the hotel.
Yeah.
I just thought it was really like insensitive to her family because they're making like a YouTube video and being like, oh my god, it's so spooky going up the stairs when like she literally died there. And like her family are probably going to watch, they might not, but her family might watch the documentary, and I just feel like that might be a bit insensitive.
I think it's probably the reason why they're all doing it, because they feel like the family never spoke at all during this whole process, and it seemed like they were so uninvolved. And when like a situation is devoid of the family and like the personal lives, people tend to treat it a bit more insensitively and with a bit more confrontation.
Yeah,
it is.
Yeah. It was more like a mystery than a tragedy.
That's exactly how I'd put it. When I don't think it was a mystery, I think it just was a tragedy.
Maybe a bit both.
Mm-hmm. Probably.
Cool.
Right, well, thank you for listening. Thank you, Will and Nikita. Tune in for the next episode. So, bye, guys.
Yeah.